Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to part two of Morning Magazine for this February 2nd, 2023. Happy Groundhog Day, everyone. Got your host, James J. here, and I am joined right now on the phone by our good friend, Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's not warm today, but and I went further north, so I'm up in northern Clark County at a meeting with a co-op up here that's talking all things dairy, so of course I wanted to be there.
Yeah, and we appreciate that you do those things, Matt. Let's go ahead and start right there, if you don't mind. What is going on over there and why you're there?
Well, so it's River Country Co-op is a co-op that works in this northern Clark County, northern Marathon area a lot, and they're having kind of winter meeting for their producers and their growers. Actually, I say producers today because all the topics are dairy related. They're breaking out in three rooms. They're doing one for different speakers, care of young dairy animals, care and feeding of milking age animals, and then there's a room producing forages for the dairy herd. And actually myself, and then we have a specialist from UW-Madison who's our main statewide dairy nutritionist speaking here, and so I'm here in support with him. And we have a nice group of dairy producers up here today that attending. So
is this one of those opportunities? Is this one of those opportunities, Matt, where a lot of people are able to share information, across the state here?
Well, for sure. I'd say they have speakers from across the state, but I'd say most of the attendees beyond the speakers are dairy producers in north central Wisconsin.
Are there, it seems like, anything being discussed would be important there, but are there some highlights? Are there some, more important things than others being discussed or being talked about there?
Well, I put together a fact sheet about a year ago, just compiling statistics about how many acres in our state are grown for corn silage. Wisconsin is the largest corn silage producer in the nation. And wherever there's a lot of dairy cattle, you're going to have a state that has a fair amount of corn silage. But no, California has more dairy cattle than we do, but we produce more corn silage than they do. And I was looking at the numbers, and it came to me that it's within just a couple square miles that, what do you know what the largest county in the state of Wisconsin is?
Oh, geez. I've heard this. No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Marathon County. So Wausau, the county just to north of us, is the largest county in the state. And each year, farmers in the state of Wisconsin go out to the fields and plant corn. Now, at harvest time, they can switch what they want. But so let's not say plant, harvest. We harvest about the equal of the entire county of our largest county, Marathon County, as corn silage in our state. You think of all the acres and cities and forest and freeway and other crops and other corn, corn for grain. We harvest the equivalent of our largest county in corn silage every year. So to me, that's a pretty cool line, the one that put two numbers together that they were about the same. But we're talking about, we've come a long way with that crop as far as making it healthy and get a lot of milk out of that. So to me, that's going to be the highlight of the day, is talking about corn silage.
And that is those are some really cool stats you just gave us there. That is really interesting, Matt. I'm not sure I did know that about Marathon being not only the biggest, but some of the other things you mentioned there. That's really interesting. Is there other angles or other things you wanted to talk about today, Matt? I've got a couple of things that we can get to, but I certainly wanted to give you the floor if there was anything you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, so I do have a deadline coming up soon on, we got lots of seats open yet, but we have a program, we used to have a program called Heart of the Farm, and it's been going, different versions of this have been going on many, many years, and the implication is that a lot of our programming was aimed at, well, today at this meeting, it's probably 80% of the audience is men. But we know there's equally as many women involved in farming as men. And a lot of farm businesses are run by farm couples. And often the woman, there are stereotypes, which, you know, there's always exceptions to stereotypes, but women do the books. And the finances are, you know, that's like the real wizard behind the operation is who can make the thing work. So we came up with this name, Heart of the Farm. Well, now we've changed it. It's a VITAL. And that acronym stands for Valuably Informed Agriculture Leader. And I wasn't on the committee. I thought Heart of the Farm was a great name. And we're going with the hearts because we're having our meeting on Valentine's Day at the Mead Wildlife Visitor Center. So that's just straight north of Millidore, Wisconsin, just in the Marathon County, a wonderful conference center site. If you're not coming to our VITAL conference, it's a great visitor center to visit that large wildlife area. But on February 14th, we're having a program there, and you can register. I'll give you that number later. I got to look it up to make sure I give you the right number. But we're having a conference there, and we're having a couple of different women who are dairy farmers who have diversified. One's a large dairy farmer, one a smaller one, but one is making a lotion that she's taking to shows around made from the milk from her Jersey cows. So she's diversified her business that way. And then another one has greenhouses, high tunnels, and open gardens, and is marketing flowers and cuttings and plants. And so we're going to have them on a panel talk about how they've diversified their business. We're having a fellow come in and talk about the milk that farmers ship has drastically changed in components. It's become higher in fat, which is what butter and cheese is made out of. I think we all know that whole milk and skim milk is standardized for fat, but there's a lot of value in that fat, and that fat has become it's regarded as healthier than it once was. It once was regarded as unhealthy, and farmers have responded that. We're making higher fat and higher protein milk, and so he's going to talk about how that came to be. We're going to have some farm management topics. We're going to have great food, so that's the thing I want to make sure people know about is that they should, it's $25 to come with us on Valentine's Day and give yourself a treat as a target audience is women in agriculture.
That's a great topic, Matt. A bunch of great things you mentioned there, but the headline of the event, the conference, it really is a great one to dive into and get talking about. I got to imagine, as you mentioned, there are and always have been many women in farming, but as we look to get more farmers or, you know, get new blood into the industry or any of these things, well, we're talking about the other half of the population here. It seems like a great, you know, source to go to for that. And who knows, you know, who you might, you know, get start a fire under or get somebody to want to get into or just to show some support to other women in the industry.
Well, for sure. I mean, you're fully behind what our goal is there. We've had some really, really good speakers of these programs over the years, so I'm hoping we get some good attendance because it's really nice quality program.
The next time we get together, I'm looking forward to hearing how the conference went because I really believe that that's going to be successful. We'll certainly mention it after the show here. We'll tell people how to register and those things as we go along in our other shows leading up to the event.
Very good. So what were your questions for the day?
I want to take some time with them. So let's get our commercial break out of the way. We'll come back and we'll dive right into those, okay?
Okay.
Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Extension, joining us right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine. For this February 2nd, 2023, we are speaking with Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Madison Extension, Wood County. And again, thanks for being here, Matt.
I'm here.
I want to dive into healthcare and how healthcare works for farmers. When it comes to topics that you and I have covered over the last couple of years, we've touched on so many, and you along, not only the audience, but myself, has been educated on a lot of these things that I don't think we know or they are common knowledge. And it's one of those things I feel very foolish for not really thinking of earlier on, but when it comes to this industry, when it comes to being a farmer, I imagine that there's not necessarily a go-to, I'm asking, is there a go-to health industry? Is there a way or how that works for farmers? I pulled up Brownfield News, and I see right away one of the first things on there, an open enrollment for farmers. And I do a little digging on this, and it seems to be a bit of, I don't want to say an issue, but for lack of a better term. What can you tell us about how healthcare works and how healthcare insurance works for farmers?
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked on this a little bit before, but certainly we can refresh on this. So, in general, we still think of farming as the farmer, and so they're self-employed. Now, some of these larger operations have employees, but they're still, even some of our, what we call really large farm on a scale of, businesses, smaller businesses. So we know that the self-employed are typically underinsured. I don't know that agriculture and farmers are any different than people that have are hauling lumber or a small retail business or whatever you have. But a lot of those people find it difficult to justify insuring themselves. So a lot of small businesses are underinsured. And then if you are an employee of a small business, a lot of times that's the last benefit that gets, there's to be competitive and to get people, you have to have a good pay, maybe have to have vacation. Sometimes people provide housing. But one of the last things farm businesses provide is insurance. And then they do get an insurance plan. It probably doesn't always compete, like if you're an employee of a large concern that maybe is unionized or state employee program or something like that. So pretty much in general, I'd say that there's issues with insuring in agriculture. One that happens a lot is many, many farms. We're just going through the census of agriculture right now. So once every 5 years, the USDA tries to reach every farmer in the country, and it's really an extensive survey. And they ask their age, what they grow, how many acres, what they rent, what practices they use on that land. And I believe there's some questions on there about insurance as well. But many farmers have a spouse that works off the farm. And one of the real, when you ask them, well, why doesn't this person, male or female, why aren't they at home? Well, we find that it's valuable for them to provide the insurance. That, they got a job that has good insurance. So, yes, you've hit on an issue that's really relevant for agriculture is that...
Matt? Oh, we lost Matt. Oh, he was getting good, too. Oh, dang it. Hopefully, Matt will be able to join us again because, this is certainly one of those things that, as Matt touched on there, we have touched on a little bit in previous conversations, but not, I think, to this depth. And I'm looking forward to hearing what else Matt has to say on this as I try to stretch. And there he is. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Matt. You with us again?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Not sure.
I heard a beep. I think I got my last comment in, I think.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
You weren't there.
Just in case you didn't, though, how were you wrapping up there?
I was just acknowledging that you picked a relevant topic. A lot of people actually reach outside of agriculture and seek employment elsewhere to take care of their families for insurance.
You've been in this industry a long time, Matt. Do you think that that's something that's getting better for farmers as far as finding good insurance?
I don't know if it's better, but maybe. Certainly farms are getting larger. So as they get larger, you would hope that maybe they're in some ways becoming more sustainable, and one way would be that maybe they are generating a little more margin that they can justify good insurance just on the scale of their business, or if they have employees that large farms pretty much need to provide insurance for employees. Now, you know, I'm involved with some farms like that pretty closely that not all the employees elect to take insurance. You know, even if the cost is minimal, they still are, you know, it's not like the old days, that the large unionized situations where when you had health insurance, it was all covered by the employer. That's pretty rare nowadays. And so we still see employees that even if the employer is going to pay half of a pretty modest program, that they elect not to. You know, they'd rather take that little bit more money and have it for spending right now today. So
is there a good resource that you would recommend to people to look into this, or just kind of, if you're in the industry, you probably already are aware of the information?
Yeah, I don't have a great one just off the top of my head. You know, there may be something in UW that I should be talking to folks about. I do know maybe where you're getting at is sometimes different counties or maybe regional governmental entities that are like North Central Wisconsin, so groups of counties, social services or whatever, you know, they'll seek out grants to try to get a little subsidy in an area to provide health insurance for people. The nature of those is not very consistent. You know, it's the grant is done and then the money's not there anymore. So, I mean, that would be a place to check would be county health departments and see what they have as far as resources, as far as other alternatives to getting some level of insurance.
I got a fun one for us to wrap up on, Matt. Before we get to that, I did want to touch on some of the optimism that is surrounding the second half of 2023 when it comes to our ag industry. We're seeing from some experts, including a grain analyst, as expecting 23 to be a launching pad for marketing opportunities, that there are going to be some bumps and bruises along the way, but 2023 could be the fulcrum year as a kind of moving forward. This coming from Todd Goal with the Chicago-based Merrick, telling Brownfield News. Are you optimistic? Are you seeing some of those things too? Are you aware of anything I'm talking about? Are you
Well, here it is, the 2nd of February. So I think crystal ball for what the outlook for 2023 is still very valid, right? That's always a topic at the beginning of the year. I'm going to focus on dairy. So we had an exceptional year in 2022 as far as within just a few pennies of the highest average price per hundredweight of milk received by farmers across the country compared to 2014. And both years had relatively high input costs, so it wasn't just entirely just screaming, you know, we can't take the money to bank fast enough. There was also the margin wasn't as great as the pay price, but both years were pretty sound years for dairy farmers. And we've already seen in dairy those prices kind of collapse to a pretty tight year looking for 2023, and we can look for some very sound reasons different than the outlook you're saying. So China, you know, largest population country in the world, buys dairy from the U.S., and sometimes it's not even feeding the population. Sometimes they're buying whey to feed baby pigs. That is, pork is their largest meat of consumption in China. And we produce way more dried milk powders, dried milk powder or whey products that we can sell to China. Well, China is having a tough year. If you've heard, you know, they're just now having their full brunt of the pandemic that we went through, and so the outlook, economic outlook in China is not huge. So it would be the very end of the year, and maybe that's what they were talking about, that we're hoping that China's going to be back in business. But you know, we just had a really good year, so it's going to be hard to beat that in 2023.
Yeah, and why does it feel, you know, I almost feel like that isn't being talked about enough, that we just came out of this last year and having a solid year. And I think that's noteworthy.
I think people are less often bragging about how great a time they did financially than when times were really tough.
Good point. True. Very true.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, 2022 wasn't all gravy. I mean, we had higher expenses as well.
Before we wrap up, I do want to tell people how they can register for the conference map. But before we do, you and I don't get a chance to do this very often. And we certainly, I love your laugh, Matt. I like making you smile. So I wanted to wrap things up on kind of a fun note here. And I've got this stems back to National Farmers Day back in October. That's how long I've been waiting to do this one with you. I have, in recognition of the farmers who feed us year round, I got a list of the 10 best country songs about farming.
Okay, let's have it.
I want to get your feel on this one. And these are in no particular order or anything like that. So, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy from Kenny Chesney. That's got to be on the list, right? It's got to be on there.
Well, I have a story about that. So
Ooh.
I have a son that can almost carry a tune. He's actually got a pretty good voice. And we were at a youth ag convention, and the entertainment in the evening was a hypnotist, and they hypnotized him, and they had him sing that song. he did a pretty good job of it. Yeah, that's a classic ag song for sure.
It's a good one.
So, very good.
That's a great story, Matt. Thank you for sharing that. That's a great story. Amarillo Sky from Jason Aldean.
Okay. I'm noticing a theme. They tend to be country songs. Right?
Yeah. I'm looking at the list here, and I would say pretty much all of them are. Maybe one sort of exception, but probably not. Craig Morgan, International Harvester. It's another one.
Yeah.
Rain Is a Good Thing from Luke Bryan.
Okay.
Last of a Dying Breed from Neil McCoy.
Okay.
Where Corn Don't Grow from Travis Tritt. I think I know that one. I'm not as familiar with that one. It sounds familiar, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been resonating with that more than a couple of the last titles. But, yeah, that's a good song.
The Great Farmer's Almanac from Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Big Johnny Cash fan. So anything from that man, The Man in Black, I'm going to be a fan of. Song of the South from Alabama.
Yeah. Good one.
Of course, the classic, we're wrapping up on a couple classics here, American Farmer from the Charlie Daniels Band.
Oh, there's one I'm wanting that I haven't heard yet.
Okay,
so
all right.
Keep on going.
Yeah, let's see if it gets in there. And wrapping up with Thank God I'm a Country Boy from John Denver.
Oh, well, that's a great one, too.
Yeah, that's a
good one. So, you did International Harvester. Where's John Deere Green?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's missing. That needs to be on the list. Oh, that's a good one.
Well, if International Harvester is on there, then John Deere Green should be on there.
So. Couldn't agree more, Matt.
Just saying.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That's great. Thank you for playing along, Matt. I appreciate that. We do want to let people know how to register for that conference. And if you wouldn't mind telling people what the conference is again real quick as well.
Yeah, it's called Vital, and it's a program for farm women. But you don't have to be an active farmer. If you have a friend that's a farmer, you should both sign up together. Or if you just have rural interests or you like to talk about farming, they're all good.
I was just going to ask how you register.
Valentine's Day, Mead Wildlife Area, which is just north of Millador. I'm going to have you call. That's easiest there's a link too, but you can call the Clark County Extension Office at 715-743-7131.
Matt, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, putting up with me as you always do, and the great conversation. We're looking forward to talking again next month real soon.
Very good.
Take care, Matt. Thanks for the time. Big thank you to our good friend Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Always a good conversation with Matt. And great conversation with Leah as well. Big thank you to Leah Eckstein, nursing instructor with Mid-State Technical College. We've had a great round of guests all week long and appreciate all of them. We'll wrap up Morning Magazine for the week tomorrow. Right at 10:05, we'll welcome in Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. You've heard Scott and I talk for years now. We always have an open interest interesting, in-depth conversation. Sometimes we lock horns and everything, but by the end of it, we're laughing and having a good time and probably talking Brewers baseball. But we're looking forward to having Scott join us tomorrow. And then in part two, to wrap up the week of Morning Magazine, we wrap it up with our good friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Silver Fox is going to be in. We'll have Chris, Trunda, Jerry Van Slyke all being with us, and we'll talk with them about the Silver Fox's most recent production that's coming up. Cannot wait to have them in studio. Looking forward to it. Let you know our sports schedule real quick going on tonight here at WFHR. It's a ball night, 5 o'clock tip-off, Wisconsin men's basketball versus Ohio State. Anytime those two face off, I don't care if it's tiddlywinks, we're going to pay attention. We're going to care on Wisconsin. Big Ten matchup right there. And a little bit later on our sister station, WIRI, Wiscountry 105.5, home of all your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home games. Well, we got some fun stuff on there. First at 6 o'clock, Marquette men's basketball head coach's show, Shaka Smart, joins our airwaves as he does once a week. And then speaking of hockey, at 6:55 on Wiscountry 105.5, the puck will drop for Lincoln High School boys hockey taking on Marshfield. Talk about rivalries. There's a good one right there. We're going to have Randy and Don calling that game. You know, you put those two together, you're always going to get a great production. Wishing them a good one. Enjoy the game tonight. And as a proud Lincoln grad, I have to say, roll Raiders. It's going to be a good one. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the morning. You guys have yourselves a great day. We'll talk to you soon and later. Be good to each other right here at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio.